Welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the day, February the 7th, and you are in for the thrill of your life. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, we have with us today a very, very special guest who is going to be doing a seminar right here on Blog Talk Radio. I've been talking about it for the past several weeks. It was my big secret for a good week or so, and now the day is finally here, and we are excited. Are you excited in the chat room? I see you in the chat room. Kiva, good morning, good morning. I see you also there, our very, very special guest and star. So for this Monday and every Monday, I will be the co-star. You know, I always wanted to be a leading lady. So, yes, Mr. Paul Carriazzi, how are you?
Good morning, Coach. Doing fine.
Hey.
Calling in from Japan.
All the way from around the waters, across the land, over the seas, and I'm talking about international right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. I'm excited, and I know you are ready to get going, so I'm going to get out of your way. I just want to tell people just a little bit about you. I want to say welcome to those listening via the switchboard, those listening via the various other feeds that this radio program sends to. Also, the iPods, the iTunes, folks who will download this, because I know you will not want to miss the teaching that's going to go forth in this session today. Wow, this is going to be awesome. And also, we have those who will come back and listen to the archives. But let me tell you a little bit about our guest host for today. He is a film director, has directed several films, including Omega Cop. He is the creator of Living the James Bond Lifestyle. He's right here. You can find him right there on Facebook. He's also created audiobooks with various movie stars, and you can find out all about that, and he can give out some more of that information. Well, he has a BA in film from the San Francisco State University. He is the director of six feature films, including Omega Cop and starring Adam Bateman West, one of my favorite, Batman, because I definitely, Adam West was the smoothest dude around during my growing up as a teenager. Stuart Whitman and Troy Donahue. He's produced his own novel as a full audio book. 2008, Black Knight's Memory, was narrated by Frank Sinatra Jr. and performed by Robert Culp, Nancy Kwan, David Hedison, Gary Lockwood, Henry Silva, Alan Young, and I'm telling you, the list goes on and on and on. And then in 2007, he did Rockstar Rising, My Casino Caper, a full audio bio performed by Ed Burns and David Hedison. And I tell you, he's just worked with some of the best stars in Hollywood, including Barbara Lee. And I tell you, just awesome, awesome, awesome. He also, in 2006, he did a seminar, How to Live the James Bond Lifestyle, that was taught at the Learning Annex. And for those of you who know anything about the Learning Annex in New York, that is like the premier of seminars where you would go to learn how to do just about anything in life. Well, coming to you today, what he is going to do for us today, right here on Blog Talk Radio, is the first segment of the four-part series. So it's the first of a four-part series this Monday and every Monday. And we will post on my Facebook page what some of the other topics. But he's going to do for us today the 21, let me find it, he's going to do the 21 rules of the Bond lifestyle. So if you're ready, I'm ready, and I know you're on the switchboard. I see you there. You're ready, so now I'm going to turn it over, introduce to some, and just present to others Mr. Paul Curiazzi. Good morning. Welcome, and take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Little Lisa. And I say doctor because, as you taught me, you're already there, right? Just a few more reports and a few more classes, and you got your doctor's degree. Thanks for that great introduction. I am calling, indeed, from Japan, where they filmed the fifth James Bond movie, You Only Live Twice, with Sean Connery. It was a long shoot, 6 months, and at one point, Sean Connery went into one of the hotels to use the restroom, and he was in the stall, and he looked up, and there was a Japanese newspaper reporter taking photos of him. And right then, according to Sean, he said, "That's it, never again, I quit James Bond." So what were they going to do? They had to find another James Bond. And an unknown male model from Australia, very handsome George Lazenby, got the sixth Bond movie. Turned out to be, they put all the money into it, more money than ever. Great script, great direction. And it's many people's, it's my favorite Bond movie, and it's always in the top five, if not one, two, or three. And now George Lazenby, age 30 years old, has got the world in his hands. And what does he do? He quit. He wasn't fired. The producer told him, "George, you can't make a career off one Bond movie." And he quit. And he thought he was going to make movies with Bruce Lee, and then Bruce Lee passed away, and he couldn't get other parts going. 10 years later, he's on television on Entertainment Tonight, and they're interviewing him, and he looks right into the camera, and he says, "I had my chance, and I blew it." So there's a lesson there where, you know, when you have success, protect it and nurture it and keep it going. So we have a lot to learn from James Bond himself and the actors in the productions. Now, when you tuned in, you might have asked yourself two questions. Why should I live James Bond's lifestyle? And who is this guy Paul that he should teach me to live like James Bond? So let's answer those two very quickly. Before James Bond, the number one male icon, can you guess who that was from 1959 to 1965? A lot of men wanted to be him, live like him, have his money, wear a tuxedo, hang around the casino. Frank Sinatra, from 1959 and 1960, was in Las Vegas, made Ocean's 11. He had his Rat Pack with Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Peter Lawford, Joey Bishop. Very similar to Bond. Hung around the casino, had a pointed gold money clip with 20 $100 bills fresh from the bank. Always, friends said he peeled them off like toilet paper, handed them out. That was the number one male icon, but it, you know, they, the Rat Pack, they were at the cutting edge of everything cool, hip, and exciting. The guys could do whatever they wanted to do and had a good time doing it. But in 1965, that all changed with the movie Goldfinger. Now, that was the third James Bond movie. Before, the first one, Dr. No, second from Russia with Love, they were popular, but it didn't get into the American consciousness or even the world consciousness. In fact, in Japan, the poster, they made posters for Dr. No, and they had Japanese translator in the movie department. The poster, they printed posters. This is a true story. Sean Connery as 007 in We Don't Need a Doctor. So some translator looked at Dr. No and said, oh, the movie must be We Don't Need a Doctor. And they were going to send out 100 of these posters, and they were caught at the last time. And I guess they were burned. They should be valuable now. So they didn't really know what they had until Goldfinger. But 1965, they had the hit song with Shirley Bassey. They had that Aston Martin car. They had the Golden Girl, painted gold. She was on the cover of Life magazine. It was big. It was big. So he replaced Frank Sinatra. Now it's we're coming up on 50 years of James Bond, and he's remained the number one male icon. And why is that? Well, he's a man of action, as all heroes are. But unlike the other heroes, he's a man of leisure and prosperity. And before he goes on a mission, we see him at a nice casino, all dressed up. We see him at a resort in Florida by the swimming pool. You know, Rambo, before he goes on a mission, he's in prison. He's on some jungle or on some mountaintop. Rocky's in a dirty apartment. Dirty Harry's even in a dirtier apartment. So that's why a lot of us, we see James Bond. And he's the number one male icon. And we go to those movies, and you know, we see that dream of prosperity and leisure, and then we cheer for Bond. You know, keep going, persevere. Don't mind the blood, don't mind the pain. Keep going, get your mission done. Bond does. We leave the theater, and we forget to root for ourselves. So that's the number one reason that I use James Bond, and I started this. Seminar, 1998. So it's and I started before that. So why should I be teaching you? In when I was 8 years old, I saw Disneyland Television, the making of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and I decided I wanted to make movies. So I made 8mm action movies with my dad's camera. College, 16mm, won Berkeley Film Festival twice with my karate action movies. In fact, I got into judo and karate heavily three times a week because when I saw Dr. No and James Bond, I wanted to be him. And I thought, well, it must be the judo and the karate, so I'll take those lessons. At that time, it was very exotic taking karate. So I did that, but see, that's not what Bond is about. And I always had him in the back of my mind, but I wanted to continue as a freelance movie director. I did go to film school, Air Force. I was stationed Lompoc, California, near Santa Barbara. I was in the movie department, made training films for NASA. When I got out, I financed my first feature film, black and white, Three Samurai, Go to England, but it was Technoscope, 35mm. And I couldn't sell it, and I went into big debt. And I'm not the type for depression, but worry is like, this the end of my career? And I went to a store, usually go to movies, but I went to a bookstore, looking around, and there at the bottom of my feet, facing up, you know, they have those shelves like the magazine racks where the bottom thing faces up, and there was a yellow book, and it said, The $1 Million Secret Hidden in Your Mind, by Anthony Norvell, and I picked it up, thumbed through it, and that was my first exposure to the power of the mind and how it can create your life and prosperity. So I read that, and I was lucky that I live in San Francisco at that time, drove down to Los Angeles, saw in the newspaper that Anthony Norvell, who was the advisor to the stars, was teaching four classes, a week, including the Sunday class. So I did 4 classes in person with Anthony Norvell. Then using his mind science techniques, I drove back up to where I lived in San Francisco. And in 6 weeks, I had enough money to make my next movie. So $200,000 was enough to let me shoot a full Panavision action-adventure movie. And from there, I got involved with other prosperity teachers, Mark Raymond, and I continued studying that. And at one point, I had a 2-year gap, and then finally I got hired to do a travel log in Thailand. And I flew to Bangkok, Hong Kong, and then the flight to Bangkok was by myself because the cameraman went ahead of me, and it was a 747 jumbo jet with nobody on but me. And the producer had first-class tickets, and I walked on there, and I was the only one in this, and they had the full flight attendants, and they had to read the safety features just for one passenger, and they had one girl talking on the mic and another flight attendant holding the belt. Instead of standing back where she belongs, she walks right up in front of my seat and says, "For your eyes only," which was the new James Bond movie that had just came out with the hit song by Sheena Easton. I said, "This is too much." And then I realized I was going to Phuket, Thailand, where they filmed the Bond movie, The Man with the Golden Gun. And at that point, I said, "That's it. I got to develop more of this James Bond lifestyle. I want this lifestyle to continue, but it's going to take more money, more skill." And that's why I said that. At that point is when I started developing it. I was working in college at a gas station. It was a very important story. And then we'll move on with the actual techniques of the James Bond lifestyle. But let me tell you this story. I was at college working at the gas station, and this attractive woman, I don't know, I was 20, she must have been 35 or 40, very attractive, and I pumped her gas, I didn't know her, and she gave me her credit card, and I looked down, just happened to glance, and it said the name, John Dangerfield. Well, at that time, I didn't know Rodney Dangerfield, but I saw Dangerfield. Of course, I was James Bond crazy, Thunderball had just come out, and with all the other spy movies, and I saw Dangerfield. So I joked to the lady, "Dangerfield, is your husband a secret agent?" And I figured, you know, she'd joke back or laugh or something, and she just looked up at me, and then she shook her head and looked down and said, "No, no." And I was, like, shocked. I'm a shy guy, basically, so I just said, "Okay," and I processed her card and signed it, and that was the end of it. And I made up my mind then. I didn't have a girlfriend at that time, but I thought, boy, my girlfriend or wife, if somebody asked her, "Is your husband a super secret agent?" At least I hope she jokes and says, "Well, in his dreams," or "He's trying," or "Yeah, maybe," anything. But a disappointed no, no. And at that time, I thought, boy, I better learn some of these James Bond lifestyle techniques. So when I was making all these movies, the crew people and extras, and they'd ask me, "How do you keep making movies and no company, you're always freelance?" And I started sharing them with them these prosperity ideas, where I'd taking these classes and reading every book I could on prosperity. And finally, I was repeating myself so often, and I'd forget to tell them something, and I'd tell them later. So I made up the 90-minute cassette of How to Live the James Bond Lifestyle. That was in 1998. That wasn't enough. I started teaching 3-hour seminars, did the Learning Annex, Spy Fest on the Queen Mary. So I wrote a 250-page book, and then even that expanded into an 8-hour audio CD, and that's what I have now. So we're going to cover those techniques in these for Mondays, 8 hours and 4 hours. I guess I'll have to talk twice as fast, right? So that gas station thing that really hit me. So, yes, James Bond, Leisure and Prosperity. And you ask people, you know, why do you like James Bond? A lot of times the answer will come back, because he's cool. Okay, he's cool. And what else? He gets the job done, gets the mission done. He perseveres. And as we know, perseverance is the number one aspect for success. In fact, McDonald's president and creator, Ray Kroc, in every McDonald's there's a plaque. Perseverance is the number one ingredient for success. Not talent, not intelligence, and not education, because we know talented, educated, intelligent people that aren't successful. Perseverance wins. And look at James Bond in Goldfinger. At the end of the movie, he's got four problems, you know. And in our lives, yeah, it's never one problem. It's never one overdue bill, right? There's always three or four overdue bills, and they're always with a deadline, right? Life wouldn't be, I wouldn't have pressure without deadlines. So Bond is in Fort Knox. He's got four problems. Number one, he's trapped. The vault is closed, so he's trapped. Number two problem, he's in there with a atomic bomb, time bomb that's ticking down from 300 seconds and ticking down. Number three problem, he's stuck in there with Goldfinger's giant karate bodyguard named Oddjob, who will kill James Bond so James Bond can't dismantle the bomb. And his fourth problem, if he didn't have enough, his fourth problem, he's handcuffed to the bomb. So unlike other people who might fold under that pressure, James Bond focuses. He's able to call up his talent at will and deliver on a deadline. That's what we have to do in business. That's what we have to do to be successful. So that's why the James Bond lifestyle, it's that perseverance and to be able to call up your talent at will. Now let's get into the Bond personality. Now this is the most important aspect of the James Bond lifestyle. That's why I'm putting that first. If you have to, leave and come back from this archive, if you're listening to it, you can mark that this is 23 minutes after the hour. You can come back to this section. The Bond personality. There's only one way to be cool like James Bond. And that is to start taking gentle rulership, gentle control over the emotions. In fact, over the entire personality. Your personality has three different parts: the mind, the body, and the emotions. And the idea I learned from my mentor in San Francisco, Mark Raymond, is he never wrote a book. And he had a radio show, and the only place I ever heard this was from Mark Raymond, the three aspects of the personality, body, mind, and feelings. And the main thing is we have to learn we have a personality, right? But we are not our personalities. We can control the three energies of our personality. Let's try it. The body, let's see if we can control that. Right hand up, right hand down. Yes, I can control my body. So I am not my body because I can control it. Okay, let's try to control our thinking. Okay, think about a red house. Now think about a zebra. Now think about James Bond. You see, you can control your thoughts. In fact, when you're falling off to sleep, sometimes you notice like you're so tired and your thoughts are moving past you. You're just kind of observing your thoughts, maybe thoughts of the day or thoughts of the past. You know, who's thinking and who's doing the observing? Well, the true you is doing the observing. Sometimes we can't sleep because our mental energies have control of us. Okay, now our emotions, the third aspect of the personality. Now, many people will say, hey, I'm a hothead. I can't control my emotions. That's it. I get angry. Somebody sets me off. No way. But if I tell the same guy, look, here's a check for $1,000. If you can make it through the whole week without being angry, you can cash it. I give him the check. He's going to go through his whole week. Some guy at work who usually makes him angry starts to make him angry. He won't. He'll control it. Why? He wants that $1,000. Some guy will pull out in front of him when he's driving on the freeway. Instead of yelling at him like he usually does, he thinks, oh, I want that $1,000. That proves, yes, you can control your emotions. So if we are not our body, we are not our feelings, and we are not our thoughts, what are we? And I learned from my mentor, we are perfect spiritual energy. In fact, we are not human beings. We are spiritual beings going through a human evolution. The human evolution is our body, minds, and feelings. Our spiritual self, our true identity, is 100% perfect, 100% love energy. There's only two energies in the world, love and fear. But our personality is not perfect. The body sometimes is weak and tired. The mind is sometimes confused, and the emotions sometimes angry or jealous or out of control. Our job is to gently raise up the three aspects of our personality to that of the perfect spiritual energy, that is our true selves. So remember, this is how to be cool. This is the only way to be cool like James Bond. And we are here to express our individuality using the tools of our personalities. I can't see your individuality. I can't see your spirit. I can only see it if you express it using your body, minds, or feelings. A sportsman or a ballerina will use their bodies to show their individuality. However, if the body's tired or weak, if the emotions are angry, if the mind is not clear or in the zone, as athletes say, that ballerina will not be able to show us her individuality. A teacher, like Coach Lalisa teaching us, they use their mental energy. And if Coach comes to the radio show one morning, if she's angry, if the body's tired, she cannot show her individuality. But if her mind is clear, body has energy, and the emotions are calm, and she speaks, she'll use her mental energy, her mental abilities, to show us her individuality. A mother will use her emotions for the child to show her individuality. Lovers use their emotions, but if other parts of the personality are lower energy, that is blocked. The personality will always fight you for control. He's trying to control you, perfect spiritual energy. The personality will fight you, but it's very easy to see this because there's only two ways that the personality can fight you. The personality block, you want to do something, but you have fear. High school, I wanted to ask this girl to the junior prom, me, the individuality, but I was blocked by fear. She was in second grade math class, Mr. Sullenberger's class, Pittsburgh High School, which I mentioned because I know I have some of my high school friends listening in. And I wanted to ask her, but I'd start sweating at the end of first period because I knew second period was going to come, and I trying to ask her, and I just couldn't ask her out. Tried to do it for weeks. Why? Because my personality was blocking me with fear, energy, shyness. The other way the personality will try to control you is the personality pull. I decide that I'm going to get a little healthier, slimmer. I will not eat ice cream. I make a decision, me, my individuality, but then I walk past Baskin-Robbins ice cream shop, and suddenly I find myself in the shop eating ice cream, and I say, what happened? Well, my personality pulled me in there. So now we have to take, I say, gentle control, because don't beat yourself up. Raise your personality like you'd raise your children. Gently, you made a mistake, and then try to guide yourself to raise your personality up. So we are here, as I learned from my mentor, on the planet. You might say, what am I doing here? Well, we are here to raise up the vibrational rate of energy, to raise up our personalities from the body sick or weak to strong, the mind uneducated to education, and the emotions from jealous or angry to more patient and calm. We raise up our own power, our own individuality first, our own personalities. Then when we raise up our energy, we are able to give to others. And then our third reason we're here on the planet is to hopefully give to the world, whether it's teaching or inventing the Salk vaccine or just having a foster child that you send money to, you contribute to the planet. But you have to take care of yourself first. That's kind of anti-traditional. But you can't give success away until you have it in your own life. You can't give money away until you have that in your own life. Even when you're in an airplane, they say if you lose cabin pressure, before you put the mask on that child, your child that you love, put the mask on yourself. Right? It's like, well, because if you pass out, you can't help your child. So take care of yourself first. Sounds anti-traditional, but you have to start. There's many examples of taking care of yourself first. Doesn't mean you run off all day and you leave the family, but everybody needs an hour to themselves, whether it's exercise, jogging, or to write part of their book, or watch a video or something. Everybody needs an hour. Any child psychiatrist will tell you the worst thing for a child is the unsatisfied parent. So take care of yourself first, raise your energies up, and then you're able to give to others. Okay, let's move on to the 21 rules of the James Bond lifestyle so you know what this course is all about. When I started this, I actually coined the phrase James Bond lifestyle, and people would say, well, what is this about, shooting people and driving fast cars? And I'd have to explain. So now, 12 years later, James Bond lifestyle is used. They're advertising clothes and hotels. Come live the James Bond lifestyle at our hotel. But when I first started, I was kind of even shy to mention it. Okay, we'll do the 21 rules, and this way you'll see what this whole course encompasses. Rule number one, I never run out of cash. And that's a biggie because I've run out of cash many, many times in the past, and sometimes there's situations where credit cards don't work or they don't take them. Everybody's got examples of that, and we're going to go into Bond and His Cash next Monday, February 14th, talk a lot about cash on that. Number two, I accomplish, learn, give, and enjoy something every day. And I find, put those things together, I found if you do those four things, it's pretty much covered. By the time you go to sleep at night and you think about it, you'll be satisfied because you accomplished something, you learned something, you gave something, even if it's a phone call to a friend or relative. And everybody forgets that last one, enjoy something. It might be you're reading a book or your favorite TV show, but then you got it covered if you do that. Rule number three of the James Bond lifestyle, my base of operations is always clean. Okay, your base of operations, your house of an apartment. Now, of course, it's going to be at different levels of cleanliness. That can't be helped. We'll get in more of that later. But, the James Bond lifestyle starts in your mind first. Then it expands to your base of operations, your apartment, your house. Then it expands to your car. Then it expands to your workplace. And then out into the world at the various places you go, resorts, second homes, hotels. We'll talk about that later. Rule number four, for challenges, right? For challenges, I improvise, adapt, and overcome. And movie making, you plan for the problems that would come. Weather, actors showing up late. You plan for problems. And you know what it is? It's always a problem you never expected, a problem you never heard of. And that's when you got to improvise, adapt, and overcome. Hey, I'm ready for all these other problems. Where's this problem? Who invented this problem? You'll find that in business and relationships, everywhere else. The problems invent themselves, and you're going to have to improvise and adapt and overcome. Rule number 5, I dress up even at home alone. Now, I get flack on this, and yes, the James Bond lifestyle, you do have to dress up a little more when you go outside. Now, remember, this is for people who want the James Bond lifestyle. There are other lifestyles, the surfer lifestyle, the tennis player's lifestyle. This is for people. You'll notice I won't spend any time on motivation. Coach Elisa even said, you know, we can't motivate each other. We can only give out words that can guide us to motivation. And this course is for people who are already motivated and they're just having that little extra problem making their dream happening. They're just got that extra tumbler and that combination lock, that extra number to click in before they get it. And that's why I invented the James Bond lifestyle for myself. When you dress up a little bit, it's better energy. You feel better. We'll get into the Bond clothes there, and of course that'll be for men. Now, 80% of this is going to be for men and women, and especially this Bond personality. So, you Bond girls there, all this, these techniques you can use, and the techniques that are not for you, you can use them for giving advice to other people. So there's two things here, techniques for us to use and techniques where we can give better advice. So now that dress up home alone, that's when you really want to hit it. Eye of the tiger, you say, I got to do something this week. And you wear the men wear a long sleeve shirt and, start reading their success book and pick up their fix their calendar and clean up their apartment. And so it has power to dress up. Okay, rule number 6, I eat fruit, vegetables, drink water, and sleep. Very important, sleep. You can run yourself. I've seen it. You know, people over here, they work for 3-4 days straight, and then they fall down the stairs. I knew somebody fell down the stairs at work, checked into a hospital, didn't even know their name. So you have to sleep. I carry enough cash. Number 7, I carry enough cash and credit to operate efficiently. So we'll get into that. You got to get the job done. You can't, you never heard, hi, my name is Bond, James Bond. Would you like to go to dinner? But first, do you know where I can find an ATM machine? Do they take credit cards at that restaurant? No, Bond is ready to go. You know, you may run into a business opportunity when you least expect it, and they might want to go to some fancy restaurant, and you don't want to be looking for ATM machines. That happened to me many times, and I walked into one restaurant and looking around for credit cards, and if they took them, and the businessmen were talking, and I excused myself, and I went, hey, do you take credit cards? Yeah, okay. So then I felt good. You don't want to sweat that out. You want to have cash. Or cash and the credit. I choose my contacts carefully and avoid villains. That's rule number 8. Very important. We're going to discuss villains in detail. And the thing about villains, you know, we invite them into our lives and our houses. The worst villain of all is somebody who will try to talk you out of your dreams. You know, hey, don't go to college. Don't open that business. Don't ask that girl out. Come over to McDonald's and hang around with us. So be careful if anybody tries to talk you out of your dreams. Rule number 9, I never give up, but I can change directions. You have to change directions, but don't give up on your dream. You can change the way you want to do things. You can change dreams, too. Just don't give up on what you want to do. Rule number 10, I'm not afraid to pay for what I want. Okay, we're going to get into that money thing again, but what you want, if you want your dream, you're going to have to pay the price. You know, make one dream come true, you only live twice, as Nancy Sinatra sang. in You Only Live Twice, and pay the price, yes, often in cash, but it's got to be, you want to get your college degree, you got to study, you want to attract boyfriend, girlfriend, you got to dress up and have some money to date. The price is not always money. It's time and energy and risk and overcoming fear. That's what paying the price. I get a good value for my time and money. I get good value for my time and money is number 11. When you know you're getting good value for the time and money you spend, you never regret money that you spend. Rule number 12, I circulate all things good. The bad stops with me. And I was in junior high school. Wasn't very smart, but I saw this Mad Magazine, and there was a cartoon with four panels. And the first panel, there's no dialogue, but the first panel, this boss was yelling at this man, bar, 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 yelling at him. The next panel, the man is home, and he's yelling at his wife. The next panel, the wife is yelling at the little boy. And the next panel, the little boy's yelling at the dog. And I wasn't smart there in junior, well, who is in junior high school? But I tell you, at that time, I made up my mind, I am not going to be part of a cartoon panel. If somebody's, yelling at my boss, yells at my dad, my dad yells at my mom, and my mom yells at me, I'm not going, it stops with me. The bad stops with me. I'm not going to yell at my little brother or my dog. So that's why I put that in there. We always say, hey, do you know the bad thing that guy called you a jerk? Well, it stops with me. We don't spread that out. But somebody says, hey, you know, Fred over there, he's really doing a good job. And if it's appropriate later on, I'll say, hey, you know, the guy told me that you're really doing a good job. I'll spread the good, but the bad stops with me. Rule 13, everyone I meet benefits from the experience. And it might be a good word, a smile to the convenience store clerk, closer friends, you might give a book. My teacher told me, even the street cleaner who's happy in his work keeps his aura and vibration up, whether he's whistling while he works or not, he's doing spiritual work because people pass by him can feel his aura. So if you keep your aura up, that's another reason why. Take care of yourself first. Keep your energy up. You're able to pass on that energy. You know, and I'm teaching too. You know, James Bond is knowledgeable. You know, diamonds are forever. M, his boss, asks him, what do you know about diamonds? And he gives a speech about diamonds. And Goldfinger, what do you know about gold? He knows everything. He goes to Japan, and Moneypenny, his secretary, says, here's a book on instant Japanese and how to speak Japanese. And Bond says, you forget I took a first in Oriental languages at Cambridge. You know, Bond is educated, so that's why a lot of these rules have to do with education. So here's a question, speaking of knowledge and teaching. What do you need to know to teach a dog? And the answer is you have to know more than the dog. Okay, so that's why you educate yourself so that you can pass on information. Rule number 14, I'm always early for meetings. Now, for meetings at an office, you have to be exactly on time, but get to the area early. Parties at a house, don't go early because the hostesses and the host are fixing up the place and cooking or whatever. However, when you're going to meet somebody at a hotel lobby or out at a bus stop, out in the area, go there early. Arrive 15 minutes early. It makes a great impression and it gives you the reputation that you're always on time. I've made the mistake, though. I get to, like, say, a hotel lobby. I meet a lot of people at the San Francisco Marriott and friends. And I'll get there early, and then I see, oh, there's a bookstore. Let me go look. And then the person comes. You know, they might be 10 minutes early, and I missed my opportunity of being there when they arrived. Or, well, I hit the restroom. So don't hit the restroom or the bookstore. Be there on time, and then let them see you. It's good for business. It's good for dating. Rule number 15, I edit out negative verbalizations. Okay, hey, we're human. It's natural. It's natural. You know, some guy pulls out in front of your car, and you might want to yell at him. You got to. It's going to come to your mind. Yeah, that jerk. You know, but you got to edit. Don't let it come to your mouth. And you know, we have the. We talk about the our mental energy that's in our personality. Sometimes the mental energy has control of us. We have to say anything, you know, that comes to our mind. We have to speak it. But start taking control. Edit out those negative verbalizations. I'm in Japan, you know, and the crowded trains are often crowded. And every once in a while, somebody comes through. Instead of sliding their feet like you're supposed to, they come through stomping on feet and stomping toes. And I always get to mind that King Kong, where the original and some guy's pushing his way through the theater there. One guy says, I think this show is about a gorilla, and this guy steps on a lady's foot, and she says, ain't we got enough gorillas in New York? So every time somebody steps on my foot and, on the train, I'm thinking, ain't we got enough gorillas in Tokyo? But it doesn't escape my mouth, you know. So rule number 16, on the job, I am always professional. Okay, a professional is somebody who gets paid for doing something, laying bricks, professional, bricklayer. But all being professional means you are controlling, once again, the personality. You might not particularly like somebody you're working with, but you work with them to get the job done. You're being paid to get the job done. Coach LaLisa talks a lot about on the job and working on the job, and I'm going to cover that later on, bond on the job on the fourth week on February 28. I am constantly learning by reading a book a week. Once again, education. Yeah, I've told you those examples. And now with audiobooks, you can read a couple of books or listen to a couple of books a week. The actor Burt Lancaster read a book a day. He claimed he loved literature. He read a book a day. Rule 18, I tip freely like James Bond. And while we're on that, I developed myself the five levels of tipping. I don't know why I developed it, but level number one, you tip because that's the custom. Okay, and that's cool. That's what you do in America. You tip. No tipping in Japan, by the way. The tip's already figured into the bill. Level two, if I can remember correctly, you tip because you used to have a job like that, and now you're a little more successful, and you're kind of revisiting the jobs. Hey, I used to, you know, wait tables or work in a gas station, whatever. So you tip for that reason. That's a good reason. A higher level is I tip to be like James Bond. Ah, the James Bond lifestyle. We're gonna be in that, and so that's a cool reason to tip. And another reason, that the highest level, we'll skip to the highest level, and the fourth level would be to evoke the law of money circulation. When you tip $5, you see $50 coming back to you, and we'll get into that later. And the highest level is you recognize that the person you are tipping, the energy that is animating his body, his spiritual energy is made up of the same energy that is animating your body, God's energy. You're actually tipping yourself because you're honoring that other man's energy. Rule 19, my car is filled up, clean, and ready to go. I knew a guy who, he never drove, but, you know, a friend, I don't know, he's a producer friend, and he never drove, and then when he did, it was always, we have to go to the gas station. It's like that Jack Benny joke. Why, all my friends live a gallon away. He never had, and other people told me, the guy never had gas to get up and go. You know, you go to a show, it's always stop at a gas station. Rule 20, I rent what I need and take mental possession of it. Of course, ownership is great, but if you're only going to use a boat once every 2 months, or once a month, cheaper to rent. You have a better choice of boats, and so we're going to talk about that and taking mental possession of what you rent. You know, we can't really own anything. 200 years, every boat's going to turn to dust. We only have possession of it. So remember, this is the lifestyle. It's livingness. You want the livingness of that boat, right? So renting it or owning it is the same thing. Owning it means you have the right to sell it. So we'll get into that more. The last rule, rule number 21, I never run out of cash. Now, that sounds familiar? That's right. Rule 1 and rule 21 are the same. I never run out of cash. So if you pay attention to rule number 1 and rule number 21, the rules in the middle are a little easier to do. Never run out of cash. We're going to talk a lot about cash in the future. Okay, let's very quickly do the bond symbols for change. And this is your first step as a technique, the James Bond lifestyle. Remember, the subconscious is very sensitive, and you want to remind yourself that, yes, I decided to live the James Bond lifestyle, and I'm not going to backslide. So first thing you do is get a new watch, and it can just be, you know, $20, $30 Timex watch, but it's new. Right, and that's your symbol. And every time you look at it, you say, "Oh, that's right. I remember. I'm supposed to live the James Bond lifestyle. I got to keep my thoughts, and I got to keep doing that and follow the rules." Get yourself a new wallet. Every time you pull it out, you're reminding yourself. A money clip that you carry in your front pocket for men, you can carry it in your purse for women. Attaché case like James Bond had in. From Russia with love, you keep that. You don't always need it. You don't have to leave with it all the time. So those are some of the bond symbols for change. We'll talk about more of them later as we're wrapping up the show right now. But go out and get yourself a new watch, and don't waste money on it. It's better to have money for books right now and to increase your lifestyle. So the new watch, money clip, and wallet. And those are your symbols that you decided to live the James Bond lifestyle. So in closing for today, I like to say when you go out this week and you run into business problems or challenges that were unexpected and you don't know what to do, ask yourself, what would James Bond do? He wouldn't fold under pressure. He would focus, call up his talent at will. He'd improvise, adapt, overcome, make a plan, and take action. So that's the key. Ask yourself, what would James Bond do in this situation? And the answer's going to come back. Really appreciate everybody in the chat room. Thanks for showing up and people listening to the archives, and especially to Coach LaLisa, soon Dr. LaLisa, for inviting me on the show. And I'll see you next Monday, February 14, for Bond and His Cash. Your appearance and Q Branch, and you Bond fans know what Q Branch is. So, Coach Salisa, thank you very much. I'll give the control back to you, as Captain Kirk says.
Awesome, awesome. Captain Kirk, one of my favorite, all-time favorite actors on TV show. Awesome, awesome. Well, I tell you, one of my favorites of the 21 was certainly taking control of your talents and really utilizing them to do great things. I mean, we all have that to do within us, and just understanding that we have control of our mind, our body, and our feelings, and not letting them be just all over the place. But I love the exercise where you told us to put our hand up and you told us to think about one thing and then think about another. And so this, I tell you, it's really, really good stuff. For those who tuned in, so glad you were able to make it with us. Now, next, let everyone know to come back and listen to the archives for Living the James Bond Lifestyle Part 1. This is Part 1 of a 4-part series, just like those, you know how they have those mini-series on the TV, like a mini movie and the series Part 1, 2, 3, and 4. I tell you, this is really, really incredible. And we have about 2 minutes left if anyone had and I know Paul couldn't stay on because of, you know, calling all the way from Japan. We so, so appreciate you, Paul, coming and furthering this show, furthering what we are doing here in terms of helping people to live the successful life they want to. But you have about 2 minutes. If you had a burning comment or question that you wanted to put forward, you would have to raise your hand really fast by hitting the number one key. Or if you're in the chat room, you would just dial up 347-945-7991, and I would take your call. Yes, less than a minute now. But I tell you, wow. Well, you got it. First of all, let me just say this. I said this to Tina last night. All of the Steelers and the Steelers fans ought to listen to this show so they can pick themselves up with that same James Bond personality and magnitude and charisma and move forward beyond what could have been or appear to be a failure, but yet just an experience, an opportunity to learn. Now, I'm sure that because there were so many people who were into the game yesterday, many people, especially on places like Facebook and Twitter and other global social media sites, will be posting anti-failure type messages. I noticed already that Judge Karen has also posted something. And so we want to encourage individuals, but this show is an encouragement. So please let your people listen. And it also shows how the ability to network and connect right here on the internet can really, really work for people. So you're going to go out, you're going to start to have that James Bond lifestyle going for yourself, get that money clip, that new wallet, to signify that you are ready to take your life to a whole new level. I tell you, Paul, we can't thank you enough for tuning in to the show and then sharing this valuable, valuable seminar with us. We welcome those that we did not get a chance to welcome earlier in the chat room. Goddess Hypno. And if you didn't get a chance to hear the entire seminar, you can go back, of course, and listen to the archives. It should be ready in the next 10 or so minutes. Those that tuned in on the switchboard, thank you. I tell you, we were looking forward to it. Yes, and we had today the 21. He gave out 21, and I love how the first one was exactly the last one. Always have your cash in order. Have your cash in order. Don't mess around with your cash, people. We've got to get the cash in order. But he gave us today the 21 rules of the Bond lifestyle. And you know, for us women, we are Bond girls because we're intelligent, we're business women, and we're independent. So we said, thank you, Mr. Paul, and that's all the time we have. So we'll be back here tomorrow with another dynamic episode of the Coach and Elisa Show. We have guests lined up for you. We have Mr. Phil Andrews coming. We have Rauch Bunch Terrell coming. We have Terry Clay coming back. We have Ms. Ronnie Nicole, who is also a filmmaker. She has recently produced a film, Grace. She's going to come on and tell us all about it. If you're celebrating in any kind of way, any kind of Black History Month celebration, congratulations to you. And until we meet again, remember, your goals will take you to the destiny of your set goals. And if you aren't able to reach your goals, you need to sign up with my coaching. We will help you achieve each and every one of your goals. Well, that's all. It's been real, and you got to keep moving on up.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget, to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.